All right, here we go. Man. It's not me. It's not you. It's me. It's me. Hey, welcome, Thrive Community Church 2025. Here we are, as Alex said. Hey, I also want to tell you, you know, some people are a little intimidated. And when you start talking about fasting, they're like, man, I prefer feasting. We do the feasting, 21 days of prayer and feasting in August. We can do that then. But fasting in 21 days of prayer in January. Listen, what we encourage you to do is just ask the Lord, what do you want me to sacrifice for this 21 days at least? What do you want me to sacrifice? What do you want me to just to cut out? Some people, one teenager actually said, I'm just going to drink straight water, no food. I'm going to see how long I can go. If that's you, hey, good. If that's you, drink, make sure you buy gallons of distilled water. Helps flush the headache impurities out. That's what's going to start happening. Your body's going to flush impurities. You're going to realize how many impurities your body actually carries in your natural, normal day. Distilled water, it helps get rid of all the internal minerals because it has nothing but pure water in it. Okay, now, maybe you're like, man, I just totally can't do this. Probably what you should do. It's probably what you should cut out. Like, I can't do sugar. You should probably fast sugar. You should probably fast bread. You should probably fast, maybe some of you, caffeine or energy drinks or coffee or social media. You can get into social media, fast social media for 21 days. Watch how your brain starts to get clear. Man, that would help. Watch how you have more time in your life. Watch how you're probably happier by not looking at social media. Watch how your sleep gets better at night. You're not staying up so late. You know, Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, all those, cut them out for 21 days and see how your attitude gets better. Instead of doing those things, though, you also have to put something back. The Word of God, open this thing, the devotion, the videos that Alex told us about, get into that devotion. By the way, if you struggle with getting into that devotion, let us know. I'd love to help you. Send me an invite, Nathan Harrington. Nathan Harrington, it's easy to find, handsome guy, beautiful wife right behind him in the picture. Can't miss it. Can't miss it. I will gladly accept your friend request and send you the invite personally if you're struggling with that. All right, we want to make sure you're ready. I am, what am I doing? What am I fasting? My wife and I, and my kids, let me tell you what my kids said they're fasting Whataburger. Let's see. They're fasting chips. Root beer. And by the way, I'm supposed to tell you, my son said to tell everybody that he's losing his first tooth. So if you see a little kid in a red shirt, says serve team, congratulate him on losing his teeth. He'll, you know, whatever. One day he'll wish he had his teeth, right? All right. Bad joke for some. All right. Man, I can go on and on and on. My wife and I, what are we fasting? We're just doing meats. I'm sorry, vegetables. We're going to eat vegetables. We're not fasting vegetables. We're going to eat vegetables, fruits, non-fried, like chicken for protein, lentils, things like fruit. What'd you say? Modified Daniel fast. No beef. We're cutting out beef, anything like that. But we are going to add protein, as in chicken, and non-fried fish. I could eat fried fish all day. So like, not fried, not processed food, not fried foods. And so, those types of things right there. No sugars, no breads. That helps. You actually find some great substitutes and your body will feel a lot better. Okay, trying to teach you how you can fast and add some things as you go to talk to the Lord. But I'm telling you, replace that with something. Replace some of the time with something that is better, something eternal, prayer. Scripture reading, journaling. As Alex said, please fill out those little cards, 21 days of prayer cards. What are you fasting for? Fast for miracles. Learn to dream big. What is it that you think, I don't know if God could do? Write that down. Begin to write that in your journal and pray over it. Put a date beside it so you can come back next year and circle it and put a God stamp on it and say, he did this. And I'm serious about that. If you want to ask for miracles and pursue miracles, position yourself to receive miracles and then petition God for those miracles, all right? 21 days of prayer in my life, fasting has done some amazing things, and usually the transformation is in me first, and then it positions me for all the things that God has after that. So we want the things after, but God is saying, I need to prepare you for that. And in light of that, we're kicking off this first year, this 2025, with our series called Lordship. In October, the Lord put this word on me, and I usually start asking for a word from the Lord for the church in December, but as I was going about my day in October, just impressed upon me, Lordship. And that's been kind of developing inside of me ever since then, since October, because there really is an under-discipleship in the church in this age. I think there's enough information out there that we glean and we pass through biblical principles or devotionals or the Bible in general, but it's usually on the way to the next scrolling page that we're looking at. I don't think it's getting rooted in because I know it's not, because it would bear fruit on the external. Lives would change. Communities would transform. Hearts would transform. Attitudes would transform. All these things that the word does and transforms would change. Humility would be on the rise rather than pride. There would be a greater sense of unity rather than division. All these things point to and attribute to a lack of lordship in the body of Christ, a lack of discipleship in the body of Christ. And so the reason lordship, we're talking about lordship, I think it's God's heart that we come under his lordship. And the thing about lordship is it's not popular. That's how you know it's from God. It's not popular to have lordship in your life. And I'm going to break this down over the next several weeks, and you're going to realize, dang, I've got some room for growth in my lordship. And allowing God to actually lead my life in these areas, in this area. And we are a little bit under-discipled. And this issue is causes confusion. When I think I'm discipled, when I think I have lordship in my life, and I'm running into trouble, it causes confusion. If I post on social media and somebody agrees with me because they really love me and they just wish, oh, I wish you would get that right, but I love you, we think we are right. And now that we have a platform, we can preach out there to Never Never Land, and we think, well, because I put it out there, it must be true. And in fact, now this is my truth. This is my truth. And usually our version of what we think the gospel says or our discipleship leads to my truth. But then there's his truth. And whenever there's a conflict between my truth and his truth, one of them has to change. And it can't be his truth. And so when we're under-discipled, we don't know how to apply the fullness of his word in areas of our lives so that we can yield and walk in the fullness of his truth. So what we end up doing, instead of becoming open and vulnerable and humble, we begin to isolate and go and protect my truth. We got a my truth generation issue. We got a discipleship issue. And so it's necessary for us to rise up and understand this concept of lordship. The reason is, I'm not sure if this is going to work, without lordship in our lives, we merely follow an idolized version of ourselves. When God's word and God's methods and God's ways are not higher than my ways, and I don't like, or it creates conflict in my life, I hold on to my truth, what I'm really worshiping is an idolized version of me. My truth usually leads me to me being God, or my feelings being God. And I'm going to easily have division in my life and separate myself because I don't think your version meets up with my version. And can I tell you, if your version doesn't often get disagreement from his version, then you probably aren't listening to his version. You've probably separated yourself from his version of lordship. And we usually have conflict and division where my truth is more important than his truth. So we're trying to get back to lordship so we can get away from idolizing a version of ourselves. We're getting back to a place where we're welcoming transformation. We're welcoming the Lord to redirect us. We're welcoming the word to have conflict with our hearts. We're welcoming the discipleship of the Lord. So today I want to talk to you about lordship over my time. Lord, is he the Lord over your time? What does it mean to allow the Lord to have lordship over your time? And this year, it's just kicking off, and I know there's many opportunities, there's many options, you know, your workplace, there's many things coming up, your friends, there's many ideas that you have, your church, there's many requests. You can go to the bathroom and look at the calendar list of all the things that are just going on in January. A lot of things. Ain't nobody got time for that. I don't have time for these things. I don't have time. There's not enough time in my day. And you always think this, there's just not enough time. I don't have any time left. I don't have time. And when in reality, it may be that we're just not budgeting our time well. It could be that we have enough time. We're just not stewarding it towards things that are actually eternally important. It could be that we actually have more time than we thought we did if we'll get off of social media and Netflix. It could be that there's way more time than I was actually willing to accept. Could be if I handed my time over to the Lord, he may help me steward my time better than what I'm currently stewarding. Could be. It might be. But number one thing we have to understand in order to have lordship over our time is we have to acknowledge God's lordship. We have to acknowledge God as having Lord over our time. We've got to hand it over. He's not just going to rip it out of our hands. He will let you run wild. He'll let you be frustrated. He'll let you grow in exhaustion. He'll let you wear yourself down doing rotes and cyclical, breaking in the cycles of your life. He'll let you do that if that's what you want. No problem. He'll stand back and wish you didn't. He'll allow you to deal with the pains and the struggles and the circumstances of all that. He'll wait for you because he's gracious and he's patient and waiting for you to come to him for change and transformation. He'll do that. But at some point, we have to get to the point where we're going to acknowledge God's lordship over our time. I haven't been stewarding it well. God must have another plan. In Psalms 90:12 says, teach us, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If I want a heart of wisdom, then I have to learn how to number my days. How do I schedule my days? How do I look at this next year in 2025 and kick it off right? How do I break that down into a month-to-month basis, a six-month basis? How do I break that month down into weeks, 4 weeks? How do I get a scope for what needs to happen in this 4 weeks that's going to benefit the rest of 2025? How do I break that down into today, tomorrow, the next day? How do I plan this out so that in my days, in my life, I'm positioned to have a heart of wisdom? I think you first probably need to understand what wisdom will provide for you. Wisdom actually positions you to receive God's blessings, his favor. He actually positions you to receive his creativity. It actually positions you to receive vision. It actually positions you to have perspective that is higher than your ways. It actually allows you to begin to gain and tap into his creativity, his ways, his truths, his understanding, and be settled in your spirit over anything that may come about. It actually allows you to have a scope and a vision for what could happen that day, what obstacles you might face, who you may be having conversations with, how those conversations could go. And if they go this way, it may go that way. And if it goes this way, you've got a plan B. And if it goes this way, you've got a plan C. It could be that your wisdom is gained because you sat down with the Lord after your devotion time and you allowed him to saturate into your schedule, into your calendar, and now you're ready for the day and the week because you already know where you're going to pivot. You already know how you can turn. You already know how you can make quick adjustments. All of a sudden, you're running a little bit faster because you sat down with the Lord. All of a sudden, you realize, man, I've got more time than I thought I did. You see it? Is he Lord over your life in that way? Is he Lord over your time? Have you submitted time to him? The Bible actually speaks of two forms of wisdom. Two forms, only two. One is earthly. James says in the book of James, Jesus' brother, he says one is earthly and what is it? Demonic. So there's a demonic wisdom, my truth. And then there's a heavenly wisdom. He says right after that, he says, you can also ask who will give grace with grace, wisdom. You can ask the Father of lights who will give wisdom in abundance. So there's two. There's a heavenly wisdom and there's a demonic. There's no room. There's no gray area. So it's either what I want to do with my time or what he wants to do with my time. It's either my truth or it's his truth. What does my truth lead to whenever there's only one of two? Demonic decisions. Okay, so now I'm wondering why. No, now I know why my life is stressful. Now I know I'm exhausted. Now I know I'm tapped out. Now I know I don't have any energy to answer any questions. I don't have any energy to do anything that's of eternal value. I don't have anything left to give. I haven't stewarded well my time. I haven't set boundaries and said, here's what I'm going to do when, and here's what I'm not going to do then. Proverbs 3:5, it's not on your screen, but I just felt it important for us to read it. In fact, I want to invite you, if you feel like you're a mature Christian or at least want to be a mature believer, start reading a proverb, a chapter of Proverbs every day. And it's really easy because there's only 31 Proverbs. Most months there's 31 days, one per day. If there's 28 days in a month, read 28 and then jump in. Go ahead and read 29, 30, and 31. It might bless you. One proverb a day. Proverbs 3 is one of my favorites. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Sounds like a difference between my truth and his truth. Well, here's what I think, but what does he say? Well, I want to know, but what does he say? But I think I should not have to do that, but what does he say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, even in time. Acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. Isn't that good news? Because he's got a heart to bless you. He's a good father. He's going to direct your path towards the path of blessing. And not only that, towards the path of your ultimate purpose, your God-given purpose. And everything that you need to fulfill and live a life of fulfillment thereafter. This is how he directs your path. You're surrendering yours to his. Not my truth, but his truth. And then he follows and says, do not be wise in your own eyes. We talked about that. For the fear of the Lord and depart from evil, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. If you don't know this already, you need to know that not all, but many health issues derive from spiritual issues. You start to clean up your soul a little bit. I promise you, some of you are going to find healing, and you're going to find emotional healing. You're going to find physical healing through actually fasting during this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Why? Because your soul is going to get cleaned up. If you go into your daily rhythms with a heart of repentance and humility, I promise you, God will begin to address things to position you and help, and bring you towards a place of healing. So, when we do, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Oh, you just want my money. The Lord does not need your money. In fact, he owns everything is his. That's called lordship right there. Is seeing every dollar in my account as belonging to the Lord means I have lordship in my finances. You don't have a financial issue, you got a lordship issue. In your marriage, you don't have a marriage issue, you got a lordship issue. I don't like that, Pastor. I love you, we're getting started. We're just getting started. You're like, I ain't coming next week. You should. You should. But I'm looking. I don't know if I see you or not. Hey, I wanted to say this earlier. We're going to weigh everybody on the way out for the fasting. And then we're going to weigh everybody again in 21 days. We promise not to make fun of you or anything. Like, we just want to see. I'm kidding. We're not. We should. Next year. Put that on the list next year. Honor the Lord with all your increase, all your possessions, and with the first fruit of all your increase. My way says, no, there ain't no way I'm going to do that. Do you know how much I make? Do you know whatever that your answer is? There's no way. No, they just want my, that's just whatever. But here's what you do want. He says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, I want that part, but I don't want have to do the other part. And that's usually our problem, and that usually is an identifier that we don't have lordship in an area of our lives, because God will say something, and he'll say, so that something, and usually we want the so that something, but we're unwilling to sow, S-E-W, into something. We're not willing to allow the Lord to transform our hearts in this area by doing something sacrificial so he can bless us over in this area. Lord, how do you think you should do that? And he's saying, well, position yourself for that. Because if he does that without your readiness for that because of a lack of transformation, you'll just waste the blessing. And it just falls right through your fingers. And now you're upset, you're frustrated, you're humiliated, you're embarrassed, and then now you're going into depression because he gave it to you, but you didn't know what to do with it, and your heart wasn't prepared for it. Ouch. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, he says, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Are you welcoming chastisement? Are you welcoming discipleship? Are you welcoming, is your truth allowing you to welcome his truth? And whenever they collide, are your truth allowing you to submit that, leave that behind and run towards and adopt and embrace his truth? Because if not, there's a lack of lordship. And there may be an issue. It's a discipleship issue. So we learn to appreciate because we understand when he corrects us, he loves us. Just as a father, a son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. When I sit down and actually have scope for my days, my weeks, my months, my year, my family, my church life, when I have a scope for it because I sat down with the Lord, he says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. See, we want happiness without having to do anything for it. We want to live out my truth and our flesh, and they call that happiness when really we're struggling in our soul and our spirits, lamenting. And we're wondering why life has so many cycles to it. Oh, it's always them. Can't be me. Can't be. My truth won't, no, mm-mm. Demonic. Wisdom. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And so when it comes to wisdom and time, we have to recognize that time is a gift from God. If anybody has deserved time, please raise your hand. If anyone is owed time from God, raise your hand. Why do you not? Because you understand now it's actually a gift from God. He has gifted. Anybody who has earned time on this earth, please raise your hand. It's called grace. And it's appreciating God for this grace gift that he's provided. And so when we acknowledge his lordship, we prioritize his will over our own desires and distractions. Now what matters to him matters to us. And so I don't like to ask you to do something without giving you practical tips. That's why we talk to you about fasting, talk to you about prayer. But some things you may need to start calendaring and planning out your time, planning, here's when I'm going to Sabbath. I've got a set day for Sabbath. I've got a set day, set time of day. I'm going to open my Bible, getting my 21 days of prayer, my YouVersion app with the church. I'm going to stay on this fast for these amount of days. I'm going to set a plan for what I'm going to do with the Lord, my spiritual growth, and I'm going to stick to the plan. Many of us don't have boundaries, and so we don't get these things accomplished because we haven't set boundaries in our lives. And what happens is when we don't have boundaries in our lives, we'll never respect boundaries in anyone else's life. Dang. Relationships. How are we calendaring the health of our relationships and how we spend our relationship time? Service, serving the Lord. How are we calendaring? I'll just tell you one thing you'll probably hear again. That way you have here's an intro. I can tell you what's most important, where you have lordship, what you value the most, from your checkbook and your calendar. You open those two up to me and I know where your heart is. Because scripture tells me that. Not because of my judgment, it's scripture clearly telling us that. These are the two areas that tell everybody, here's what's most important to me. Okay. Create margin in your schedule for rest and reflection. Listen, look at some of Jesus's applications going on. Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight," that means it's still dark outside, sun hasn't come up. Everybody with me? "He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." So before the sun comes up, it's dark outside. Jesus goes out to a solitary place to pray to the Father. If Jesus needs to pray and get away from others so he can hear from the Father for his spiritual growth, for his lordship to the Father, don't you think you and I need to do that same thing? The correct answer is yes. There's no plan. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Luke 5:15-16 says, "However, the report went around concerning him," Jesus, "all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Like, he was doing some really good work. People were coming. He was healing them. There's a lot of work to be done. Probably a lot of people who needed his healing or the effects of his healing during that day. Doctor, you know, the medical field didn't have as much technology as we have today. He was in pretty high demand, you could say. Probably had a lot of followers on YouTube. And so he himself, though, even though it was a ton of work to get done, even though there's still work coming at him, even though all those things were still necessary and needed, he had already decided, "Well, that's good. I'm still going to get away in the wilderness and pray." And husbands are like, "That's why I'm going hunting. That's the Lord said to get away in the wilderness and go and pray." Here's another one. Luke 6:12-13. "Now it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he named apostles." Can I just give you leaders, business owners, ministry leaders, entrepreneurs, upper management? Could it be that you're struggling with finding people to lead or to empower or who will step up in your organization because you're not getting away in solitude to pray for God's vision, his clarity, his heart, giving him lordship over the areas that you lead? Therefore, you don't know who he wants to step into roles where you're called to lead. That's what he did. He went away and got away. He got away with the Lord, with the Father, and prayed. Came back and he selected the 12. There was many disciples. Many disciples. But because of his prayer time with the Father showed him, "Here's the 12 I want you to choose." Here's Mark's account on that same event. "Then Jesus appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons." Could it be that the people that you're called to steward, who are coming up under your leadership, are needing you to get away to pray so that you can come back to them, empower them, strengthen them, give them insight on what you're calling and leading them to do and asking them to do, and some coaching along with it so that they can go out and be empowered to do whatever the job requires? Could it be? Could it be the stagnation in your organization is because of a lack of prayer time and lordship? Time. I'm just suggesting. Matthew 26:39, "And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, my truth, please don't. If it is possible, my will is, please, no, let's just do something else. Is plan B? The cross, I can see how that might work, but what about this?" This was the conversation with Jesus was having a conversation. "Here's my truth, Father. But if it's your truth, I'll put my truth on the altar of sacrifice." "If it's possible, let this cup pass. Yet not my will. Not what I desire, but what your word says. Not what my flesh really wants, but what you're saying right now. I don't really want to cut the sugar out during this fast, But if you say so, Lord, I'll do it. When's the last time you got on your face before the Father? When's the last time you got on your face before the Father that wasn't false humility? You know how it's false humility? You don't come up transformed. You go down on your face as an act of, it starts out as an act of worship, but on the ground down there on your face, you're at, Lord, change all them. Change everybody else outside of them. Oh, I'm just, ooh, I'm going to war for them. But I want to stay the same. When's the last time you really got on your face before the Father and your will changed, transformed because of His will? Like you came up transformed and your marriage was different than it was when you went down on your face. Because you went down seeking the Lord's lordship, His lordship over every area of your heart. And specifically for the thing that you went down and got on your face for, change me, transform me, give me a new heart. Let the attitudes of my heart be different in this scenario, in this situation. When's the last time? Everybody raise your hand at one time. Thank you. Matthew 26, so yeah, there it is. But I can go on with examples. Let me give you some benefits. Greater peace and clarity in your day. Boy, wouldn't it be good to not have kind of fog? I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing? Why am I even here? What's it? Man, I can run with it. I can run after it. I can run for it. Knowing I'm aligned with God, with God's purposes. Sorry. Prioritize eternal over temporal. What's really important, Lord? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the King, His kingdom and His righteousness. His kingdom and His righteousness. That means I've got to yield mine. I got to yield my stuff. I got to give Him lordship. And all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom. Stewardship of time means discerning between what is eternal and what is temporal. Lord, in my calendar, what has no meaning to it, but what has meaning for Your kingdom? What do You want in my calendar this year? What do You want for my family in our time this year? What do You want, Lord? We've got to learn to separate the eternal from the temporal. We got to set boundaries. Again, probably some good areas to consider during our 21 days of prayer is getting rid of technology, setting aside technology, not scrolling, binge scrolling through social media. Not choosing from one series to the next, and Netflix and Hulu and Apple TV and Prime and all these things. Set it aside. Not YouTube videos after videos after videos. Set it aside. What can you do instead? Start mentoring somebody. You guys probably have, many of you have way more than you think you do. Don't say I don't have time for it. It has eternal value. You got plenty of time. Mentoring or being mentored or both, being mentored and mentoring somebody else. How about family discipleship? Your kids or your family's waking up, disciple them. Have some time in teaching them about the word. Going to bed, have some time talking to them about their day and how the word really could apply to their day and school and issues and conflict and whatever else they're facing. Celebrate what they did that was great. Disciple them. How about this? Disciple them in 2025 by getting your rear end out of bed on Sunday and coming to church and bringing them with you. Fight that fight. Oh, I don't want to get ready. I don't either, but we're going. None of us, if we focus on the chastisement, if we focus on the correction, then we'll always get our little feelings hurt and run back to my truth. But if we focus on the benefits and the blessings that the correction and the redirection comes with, we'll welcome it so that we can walk in the benefits of God. Because it takes the correction, the chastisement, and the discipleship to reveal the lordship that's actually in our lives so that we can walk in the fullness of what God has for us. So our conversations need to transform to, Lord, I know I keep having conflict in this area because of the attitudes of my heart. I know, Lord, without transformation, I'm going to stay proud. I'm proud. This is why it keeps happening to me. It's my pride. It's not them. If you're not having conversations like that with the Lord, then you're probably remaining proud in areas of your life. and pride and God, they don't mix. He can't speak to a proud heart. He's probably yelling at you with a trombone and a trumpet or whatever. Refuse to change. I refuse to have lordship of time in my life. But what we get is a sense of purpose and fulfillment. And usually this is these generations that are coming up from baby boomers down are all about purpose and fulfillment. And without lordship over our time and lordship over all the areas we're going to talk about, it will feel like there you're not living a sense of purpose and fulfillment. You won't be focused on the things that truly matter. Number three, we have to embrace discipline and trust in God's timing. Embrace the discipline like we talked about and trust God's timing. Ecclesiastes 3:1, no, there is a time for everything. Ain't nobody got time for that? Oh yeah, you do have time for that. You're just gonna have to get rid of some temporal things. Things that really don't matter. Oh, you know, the flesh never wants to get rid of that stuff. The soul loves it. Like, I love that. That's probably the stuff you need to start getting rid of. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. The Lord has a different version of what time you have than you do. I'm assuming he means everything that actually matters. But I don't have enough time. According to the word, you do. The way we get there, setting a time, getting with the Lord, making him priority, I would encourage you, read, journal, pray. Pray what you feel like God is saying to you. You've got to work it out. You've got to fight for that thing. You've got to just practice that thing. Start journaling those things. See if anything makes sense later on in life. Who knows? But you have to start practicing hearing the voice of the Lord. Exercise, man, it just helps you with courage and confidence. Exercise, fasting, 21 days of prayer and fasting. Please, please, please join us in this 21 days of prayer. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, see then that you walk carefully. It means I got to really be intentional in what I'm doing in my life. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Some people have such a guilt over their past, but God's saying, if you'll just be careful with what you're doing today and how you plan out your days, weeks, and months now, I'll redeem the time and I'll show you. Though it wasn't my perfect will for your life, through the consequences and the overcomings, I will add value back to that. Some of you for redeeming the time is, man, God just starts to supernaturally multiply your time. You're getting way more done because you have vision and clarity for your time and the people that you lead and the things that you're going to do and the things that need to shift or change. And if this happens, it's okay because I'm going to go that way anyway. Your time is redeemed. You're not wasting time with anxiety and depression and mulling over and worry. No, because you settled all that stuff with the Lord that day. And in the moment, because you have practice and devotion with the Lord, in the moment, he can redirect, he can correct, he can address, he can move you around, he can move things around, and you have a flow with him. Because you fostered that relationship daily, every day in the morning. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will. How else are you going to get the will of the Lord? How do I know what the will of the Lord is? Well, I hear it from him. I read it from him, and I start to work it out in my life. It just becomes the driving force behind what I do. So I want to give you a little food for thought. Because the benefits of this one, let me scroll through here. The benefits for this one is growing in patience and flexibility. And I don't mean being limber, like physically limber. Like, you know what, it's all right, no problem. I got a plan for that already. A deeper reliance on God's sovereignty. God's working all things out. It's all good. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep persevering. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to allow him to do a transformation in my heart along the way, and I'm on it. Let me give you a perspective, and then I'm out of here. What if? Get your thinking caps on.
I did all the talking. Now you've got to do the thinking. What if God is actually testing us with the one eternal resource that you don't have to work for? Time is a resource. Salvation is an asset. The one resource that has eternal value that you don't have to work for, it is given you. Time is gifted to you. What if God is testing you with how you steward that time to see where your heart is towards Him? What if He's saying, I'm going to give you X amount of time, and I want to see if you have lordship, if you'll sit there, if you'll bring that back to me, if you'll schedule with me what's most important. I know you like to do all these things during your week, but these things really don't have eternal value. I'm wondering if I really have lordship in your life by giving you a resource that you don't have to work for. But I want to do this to see, do I have lordship? Am I invited into what you do at that time? Am I allowed to speak in to what you're going to do with the resource that I'm providing you? Most often, my kids undervalue the gifts that I give them. Most oftentimes, my kids misuse the gifts that I give them. Most of the time, my kids underuse the gifts that I give them. And what if how He blesses you comes from how you steward this gift? What if your time stewardship, His lordship over your time, allowing Him to speak into what you do, what you don't do, how you spend it with Him, with others, etc. What if, based on those conditions, it dictates how He blesses your life, your finances, your business, your ministry, your family? And what if all of these areas are a direct result of the lordship you have over your time? Food for thought. I think it's worth trying to be a good steward and asking the Lord to help number our days so that we can multiply, redeem, add value, eternal value, steward well, so that we can walk in the fullness of what He has. So our families can walk in the fullness of what He has for us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, your schedule's on your heart. Whether you have one or not, I'll do what I want to do. It's in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your truth, on your understanding. Well, I don't know. That's just wasted. Nope. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit to Him. Lord, what do you say? And now it'll feel like, man, I can really walk this life out with boldness, with courage, with tenacity, with a steadfast spirit, because I'm humble, I'm moldable, I'm able to transform and pivot in the moment. My schedule is subjected to His lordship, and if those things don't work out, it's okay. He's got it anyway. Man, I'm trying to lead you to the most blessed life. Can I pray for you this morning? Is there anybody who would like to have a little bit of blessing on their time? Me. So, Father, I just ask you today, as we enter into this 21 days of prayer and fasting, that you begin to speak to all of our hearts, that you begin to sift out the areas of our lives where we're lacking lordship, Lord. I pray that you help our people to begin to steward well this resource of time, this gift of time that you've given us. None of us is it owed. Father, help us to have perspective to where we utilize it well for something and some things that further advance your kingdom, Father. Let it be that our time is spent pondering the thoughts that are in your heart, walking out the path, the clear path that you've designed for us. Father, help us to seek you in prayer for those who we are called to steward, who are called to lead. Father, give us a greater awareness of our need to be better at empowering others to do the very things that you've called them to. Father, help us to start first with stewarding well the discipleship in our own families, utilizing the time that you have gifted us. And Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Can I get a good amen, somebody? Happy 2025. Come on.